I need to let you know that Deacon Wes and I are both operating on very little sleep. Deacon Wes, because he has been heroically busy moving snow, you know, getting our parking lot cleared off and everything like that, and that's the reason that he's operating on about 3 hours of sleep. For me, it's because I had the midnight mass and then I have to be up for the early morning mass, so I'm also operating on about 3 hours of sleep. So what my goal is right now is, first of all, to not put Deacon Wes to sleep. And it would be even worse if I put myself to sleep. So we'll try to avoid that. You know, when we celebrate Christmas, it's such a beautiful time of the year, time when families get together, such a joyful time for children, the presents and everything. But we can enter into the celebration of Christmas, in a sense, almost on automatic pilot, getting all the preparations done, doing all of these other things. And we don't really stop to think about what we're doing and why we're doing this. And that's why today I would like to address three questions. First of all, who is it that has come into the world? The second is, why has he come into the world? And the third question is, what does this mean for us? What does this mean for you? What does it mean for me? So first of all, who has come into this world? Today's readings really focus in on the answer to that question, because it tells us in that first reading that the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. So it's God himself who has come among us, the one who is the creator of everything. That's, again, something that was stated in the first reading, that everything came to be through him. He's the creator of all things. And the more that we contemplate the greatness of who Jesus is, when we think about, for example, even when we look at the created universe and the vastness, the complexity, the beauty, the majesty of all of these things, and to realize that the one who made all of this is the one who has come into the world. In the second reading today, the second reading from the letter to the Hebrews also focuses in on this, on the reality of who Jesus is, because it mentions how Jesus is the image of the invisible God. We've heard it many times. We heard that we are made in God's image. We are made in his image, but Jesus is the image of God. So again, the greatness of the one who has come among us is very important. And it's important for us to reflect on that, because he comes in such a humble and silent way, that we have to be able to see beyond what our physical eyes can see, to be able to see his glory. The second thing is, why has he come into the world? Well, the very name of Jesus means God saves. He has come into this world to save us. And we think about that, probably one of the most famous passages, the most well-known passages in all of the Bible, when it says, when Jesus himself says, that God so loved the world that he sent his only beloved Son, so that all who believe in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Jesus has come into this world on a rescue mission. And the more that we consider the danger that we were in, the danger that sin and death have brought into the world, the more we can appreciate, the more we can be grateful, the more joyful we can be as we celebrate this feast day. We still have, again, remnants of the danger that we were in. You know, when we think about the fact that death, suffering, sickness, discord, all of these things are the result of sin coming into this world. And so we see those effects. Now, the real tragedy of sin is beyond what we can see. You know, we think about death as being such a tragic thing, but that's nothing compared to the eternal death that that we were in danger of if Jesus had not come into this world. So again, to be grateful because Jesus has come in on this rescue mission in order to save us. But the third thing, what does this mean for us? Again, it's very important. I think about one of the questions that somebody put to Jesus in his public ministry when he said, "Lord, what do I need to do to inherit life? What do I need to do?" That's a question we should all ask. What do I need to do? You know, one of St. Paul's letters, he talks about in the last days, and I'm not saying that these are the last days or anything, but he says, in the last days, there will be those who keep the form of religion, but deny the power of it. They keep the form of religion, but deny the power of it. So often, in our society today, people think that they can determine for themselves what it is that God wants of them. And we really can't do that. We can't make up the rules for ourselves. We can't determine these things on our own. We have to listen to God. And oftentimes when I'm in discussion with people who, to a certain extent, have made up their own rules, the line that they draw is oftentimes very arbitrary. Like, why do you draw the line here and you don't draw it over there? Like, why? You know, it's always very arbitrary. And usually what it comes down to is, I draw the line here because I like this and I don't like that. So it's according to their own likes, not really looking at, what does God want? What does God expect of me? You know, we oftentimes operate almost with the idea, not that anybody would ever express it this way, but it's almost like God is all wise, God is all good, so he couldn't possibly disagree with me. We very often try to dictate to God what we're supposed to do. Now, it'd be too much to go into any kind of detail in terms of what we are to do, but even Pope Leo has to try every day to conform himself to God and to God's will. When we hear those very sad words in today's gospel, when it says the word, or he came among his own people and his own people didn't accept him, oftentimes we underestimate the resistance that we have to God. That we don't really want what God wants for us. And that's why we very often make up our own rules and make up our own parameters and things like that, because we really don't want what God wants for us. If we want to flesh this out a little bit more, there's one very prominent convert to the Catholic faith in the past 40 years or so, a fellow by the name of Dr. Peter Kraft. He wrote a book, he gave a talk years ago that I found him such a clear thinker and expresses his thought in such a clear way. But he gave a talk entitled, Seven Reasons to be Catholic. And he starts off by saying there's only one really good reason to believe in anything. And that one reason is because it's true. If it's not true, there's no point in believing in it. He says there's only one good reason to believe in anything, it's because it's true. And then he goes through these seven reasons to be Catholic. And that kind of fleshes it out a little bit more to give us an idea of, what does God want from me? What does God want from you? It's not arbitrary. God has laid things out, and it's up to us to conform ourselves to God's will. So as we celebrate Christmas, all the joy and all the presents and family and all of these other things that bring great comfort and joy to us, we want to think about why we're doing this. And to think about these three questions. Who is it that's come into the world? That is God himself who's come among us. Why has he come among us? He's come to save us. That we're in grave danger, but Jesus has come to rescue us from that danger. But what does it mean for us? That if I want to be saved from that grave danger, I have to listen to Jesus. I have to follow in the ways of God. So that instead of incurring the danger or making real the danger that Jesus came to rescue me from, that I'm able to share in the life that Jesus promises. I see that I didn't put Deacon West to sleep, so that's good. That's That's an accomplishment. So, let us now profess our faith in God. And today, as we profess our faith in God, normally when we get to the part where we are expressing our belief in Jesus becoming one of us, we usually bow at that part. But today, because we're celebrating the Nativity of the Lord, we're asked to genuflect at that particular part. So I ask you to join me in genuflecting at that particular point in the Creed. So we pray. I believe in one